Well, let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord our God, we are so graced to be in your presence. We ask for your Holy Spirit to anoint this chapel, to anoint all of us who are present here. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that the man and the woman, the saint you desire us to be, may burst through. As we open up issues of prayer in our life, our heart to your heart. As we enter into the Jesus Prayer and this first talk on Lectio Divina, we ask that it be guided by your Holy Spirit, so that your words to us, your heart, your desire for us to hear, may be spoken, and that we may receive. Open our hearts, fill us with your Holy Spirit, anoint our speaking, our listening, our living. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is called the Shema Israel, Hear, O Israel. It's a cry of ancient Jerusalem to hear and to dedicate, covenant themselves solely to the Lord God, the true God, the one God. And as we talk today on this first presentation on Lectio Divina, we want to hear that Shema Israel, Hear, O Israel. This is the precept of authentic prayer, is to listen, to hear. Most of us just talk. And we got it off our chest, and we walk away. We're going to learn a deeper way of prayer. A.W. Tozer, who is a Protestant theologian, says, "There is some piercing sweetness to be had in the presence of God." There is some piercing sweetness to be had in the presence of God. St. Jerome says, "Ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ." Many of us have heard that phrase many times. I know that Jeff on Monday talked on Lectio Divina. I want to go a little bit deeper into that today. Without hearing his talk, there may be some repetition. Hopefully, we'll go even deeper as well. The Shema Israel, this Hear, O Israel, Lectio Divina, what is this listening in the Word of God? Lectio Divina is a slow contemplative praying of the Scriptures, which enables the Word of God to become a means of union with God. So it's a slow, contemplative praying. This is hard for us as Americans. Everything is fast for us. In fact, we see ourselves and our identity is so rooted to, so tethered to how productive we are, how much we multitask, how much we get done in a day. It's very hard for us to contemplate. But the real saints learn how to slow down. The real saints learn how to pray. In fact, within his beautiful book, Father Thomas Dubay, Fire Within, it's like a modern spiritual classic, he says this: "As the experience of the centuries attest, true transformations in the world and in the church continue to come about only through the interventions of men and women on fire, that is, through saints. The evidence is overwhelming. It is also widely ignored." We want to become people on fire. In fact, St. Seraphim of Sarov says, I think I've told you this before, if a man or woman is filled with the Holy Spirit, thousands will be saved. The real focus for us as Christian men and women, as Catholics, is to be possessed by the Holy Spirit. We are to be possessed people. And how do I grow in this possession, this receptivity of the Spirit, that God would abide within me more and more? Surely it begins and enters with the sacraments. When you and I are baptized, God Himself makes a dwelling place within us. The other sacraments strengthen us or heal us, or we go into penance, forgiveness, when we've been weak or fallen. We're strengthened by the Eucharist for this journey toward the promised land, toward heaven. But there are other ways, too. God's not just limited to the sacraments. His grace is normatively given to us as Catholics through the sacraments. But grace is all around us. And prayer is one way in which we do that. And how much better than to pray with the Word of God? And that's what Lectio Divina is all about. It's an ancient way of Christian praying. It's kind of an ancient symbol that was used, was a like an animal ruminating over its cud. It's what Lectio Divina is all about. It's kind of maybe not the most romantic, attractive image you can think of prayer, but the ancient Christians would use that. A slow chewing, savoring, breaking it down, letting it become one with you. And so Lectio Divina is this slow contemplative praying with the Scriptures, the Word of God, to become a means of union with God. That's our goal. You know, Christianity isn't about you and I just being good, following moral rules and guidelines. That's an effect of a deep relationship with God. We want to be holy because we're in union with God. That's a byproduct of a relationship with Him. But most of us have it reversed. Well, if I do all these things and I'm good, see, God, I'm good enough to have a relationship with you. See how good of a person I am. I follow all the rules. I keep all the precepts. Well, that's good. But it's kind of inverted. What we want is a deep, holy relationship with the Lord. Those teachings of the church, the precepts of the church, give us, the church as a good mother, gives us the boundaries of that relationship of holiness. And that's the precepts, the rules. I hate that word because people use it, I don't like all the rules of the church. It's the teachings of the church to keep us in this parameters of holiness. But our real desire should be our base, our foundation, is a relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Lectio Divina is one way in which we can do that. Lectio is listening deeply, to hear with the ear of the heart. Most of us struggle with that. If we live life on the surface, scattered living, we're busy, we're trying to provide for our families, we're rushing from one thing to another. Some are essential for our providing for our families, to making sure that our life is rightly ordered, to help our children to grow up and to be well nurtured. Some of those things are very foundational and essential. But there are other things that are secondary, or they start to govern us and rule us. And we live scattered lives all on the surface of life, and we wonder why we're restless. Why the next new thing doesn't seem to satisfy or only does for a little while. And most of us are really foreigners to our own heart, the vocabulary of our own heart. Who am I? Well, I'm an engineer. I'm a priest. That's what I do. It's not who I am. You and I essentially, in our identity, are beloved sons and daughters of God. Oh, it sounds so pious, you know, so beautiful. It's kind of poetic. But when you really get into the meat of it, you start to realize that that's where your identity lies. That God the Father, when He sees you, sees His beloved Son. Why? Because you are grafted through baptism into the sonship of Christ. And He sees a beloved daughter. So much so does He love us that He sent His only Son to save us, to give us the good news, to die on our behalf, to open the gates of heaven for us. And not only that, but He sends His Holy Spirit. That love between the Father and the Son is now infused within us with what we call grace. God doesn't want to just save us. He wants to abide in us and with us. His most favorite place to be in all of the cosmos is in your heart. And most of us are foreigners to our own heart. And that's why our prayer many times can be rather superficial or immature. We're juvenile before the Lord. He wants us to be mature men and women of prayer. But He needs to teach us and mentor us and guide us. That's what we're going to talk about today. Lectio is just one of many ways. But how much better to go to the Word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, Scripture says of itself. It's the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God, became enfleshed. This is the Word of God. This is my breviary, but it has the Word of God in it. God speaking to me, to my heart, to my life. And so it's a gateway of intimacy with the Lord. It's a gateway in which I open my heart in vulnerability to the Lord and He to me. Prayer is, in my own definition, is the meeting of the heart of God and my heart. In vulnerability, in openness, eventually it becomes like Mary, fiat. Do with me as you will. But most of us are afraid to go there. We either don't know how to go there, or we've got a lot of strongholds in our life that keep us from going there, fears and wounds, concerns, past experiences that impede us, and the devil loves to keep us tethered there. Prayer is one way in which God, in flexio, reveals your heart to yourself. And all of a sudden, in this place of intimacy, you're able to reveal your heart in security, in vulnerability, in love, in peace, certain resting. Scripture calls it abiding, just to abide with the Lord. You know, when you finally fall in love and you get married, we'll do everything in proper order here. You fall in love, you get married, and the first night of consummation, there's a certain resting in the arms of your beloved. There's a certain prayer there. John Paul II calls it worship, prayer. It's an exchange of persons. You're abiding in the one you love. He and you and him. There's a sweetness there. There's a safety there. There's a beauty there. That's the kind of prayer we're talking about today. I don't know about all the men in here, but sometimes words like this, they're attractive, but they're like, you know, let's just do something, okay? Women are like, oh my gosh, I totally want to get into this prayer. And guys are like, well, I don't know. Can we have food with that, you know? But once you taste it, even as men, it was really what we hunger for as well. And it's going to be different for each and every one of us. It's going to be common, but different. Because each of us, we share a common humanity, but we also are individual persons. Women experience it slightly different than men do. But there is a sweetness here. And so what A.W. Tozer says, a piercing sweetness to be had in the presence of God. You know, an experience I had when I was at a church on a 30-day silent retreat, and there was just before Mass, I'm all vested up, none of the other priests were there, and I heard the Lord speak to me and said, John, let go of your conditions. Will you let go of your conditions? So I had all these things I wanted God to answer on this retreat. I had 30 days. I figured, let's go for everything. And I said, just as simple, in my spirit, yes. The only way I can describe this to you is as if it was a Gothic church. So tall, tall ceilings and beautiful stained glass windows on the top, much like this here, except the ceiling was taller than in this St. Mary's Chapel here at St. Paul's Seminary. It was like my soul and the whole of my being soared up to the rafters of that church. It was lightness and love and being in the presence of God. It was like almost being outside of yourself, but I was very much within myself. It was being fully in love with God and being loved by Him and being free to love in return. That's that piercing sweetness. Many times it's just little touches. It's not that dramatic. But they're touches of ecstasy, of love, of deepness, of quiet stillness. And so when we look and enter into the process of Lectio Divina, there's four general movements that we would enter into. The first is this Lectio, which is reading. Let me just give you an aside here. A lot of my talk will be summed up in part in a handout that you'll get at the end of today. So you want to take notes, feel free, but don't feel frantic that you're not getting everything. And some of this, anyway, is a little repetitious on purpose. So the first step is Lectio, reading. You find a piece of scripture. Maybe it's the readings of the day for Mass or this weekend's reading. You want to meditate on this all week. And so, or you find a favorite book in the Bible. The Psalms are a great place to go, or Proverbs, but especially the Psalms. The Psalms really captivate various different human emotions they bring to the Lord. It's a great place to kind of open your heart, okay? And so the issue with Lectio, the reading, I'm going to give you a handout at the end. The reading for this Sunday's Mass. Well, there's a lot of readings. There's an Old Testament reading. There's a responsorial psalm, an epistle from St. Paul, and there's Luke's Gospel. Well, maybe the first time through, you just read through it all, and you see what strikes you. Or maybe you just say, you know, I'm just going to read the Exodus account. That's the first reading. And something in there speaks to you. You read it through once slowly. The issue is not getting it through, getting it all done. God's not interested in that. He's interested in speaking to your heart. And so if the Word of God speaks to you, sometimes some people talk about jumping out at them. Other times it's just a quiet little nudge, a pulling in. And you just stop there and you read slowly and you read over reverentially in silence, awe. Slowly, attentive. Again, it's not about productivity, getting it all done. You often hear saints saying one decade of the rosary well, with attention and with your heart, is worth more to the Lord than a whole rosary said quickly, got that done. I was obedient, got my rosary done. I'd rather have even one prayer said from the heart to the Lord. That's more valuable to the Lord. So you want to find a place of quiet, a place where you're not going to be disturbed. You can set up the room any way you want. You know, turn off the phone. You can light a candle if you want, if that helps you focus. Get a good hot cup of coffee or tea. And then but don't get too comfortable, especially if it's the morning. Otherwise, you won't have Lectio. You have Sleepio. And you want to have this reading of this Lectio. Again, this is God's personal word to you. You want to personalize the word of God. Yes, he wrote it to his people, but you're one of his beloved sons and daughters. He wants to speak to you. In fact, you'll be very surprised at how the word of God sometimes answers some deeper questions that you've always kind of pushed aside. I don't have time to deal with that right now. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's a place of woundedness in your life, a place in which you felt disabused by another. Or maybe it's a place of awe and excitement and joy, and you wonder, why am I so blessed? The Word of God speaks to you, helps you go deeper. It makes this Lectio, this slow reading, makes the Gospel more fully alive, to have the Word of God become incarnate within us. That, I think, is the key phrase here. It's the quality of your presence with the Lord, being present to him, not the quantity of your reading or work. It's not even the quantity of insights that you gather. God may speak just a short little word to you. Maybe when you read, abide will come out. That's the only word you get. Well, what does that mean? But you start praying with that. You start to realize that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is courting you to rest in him. This deep longing within your own heart. You're tired of being frazzled by life. You need a place of respite. And the Lord is giving you this taste just through one little word. The second stage is called meditatio, meditation. This is where we ruminate. Maybe a word has come out to you. So let me use an example from our readings for Sunday. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses is seeing, he's tending the flocks of his father-in-law Jethro, and he sees this fire in a distance on this burning bush. This is what's coming up this Sunday. And it says, and as he looked on, he was surprised to see that the bush, though on fire, was not consumed. So Moses decided, I must go over there over to look at this remarkable sight and see why this bush is not burned. And for me, when I read this, consumed hits me. Am I on fire? I'm asking myself a question. Lord, what part of me is not consumed in love of you? What have I hidden from you? What do you desire to set on fire? Okay, so that would be like a meditatio. You ruminate maybe just over that word, consumed or on fire. And you have deeper desires of your own hearts, you know, thoughts, feelings, emotions, desires, maybe memories, or imaginations may come to you. You're imagining that you're Moses and you see this burning bush and you're encountering the Lord. You can use your holy imagination in this. It makes it very personalized. This is not a bunch of mental gymnastics that you're going through. You're trying to enter in with the whole of your being into the presence of God. That's all you're doing. So be creative. So you ruminate in meditatio. You take it in, this word. It may just be one word. It may be a phrase. It may be a couple of sentences. You take it in, you ponder it like Mary. She who is the greatest of all saints, what does Scripture say of her primarily? That she pondered all these things in her heart. She shows us what it is to be, what it takes to become a great saint, is to ponder, to be a people of contemplation, to be a people who meditate, who pray, who go deep. You bathe in the Word, you memorize it. Maybe that becomes your word for the day, your holy word. Fire. I want to be on fire. Even Jesus said, I've come to cast fire on the earth, and oh, how I wish you were already ablaze. Why not become totally fire? What makes me different than any other human being that's ever been alive? The great saints, I'm no different. God is bathing me in grace. He has baptized me. He has called me to holiness. What part of me, Lord, is not on fire? What am I afraid of? All these things start to well up in your heart. Maybe it brings you back to a memory when you were a child, and maybe you had moments of natural contemplation where you're outside just playing in the fields, and you just had this kind of natural contemplation where you see little kids, sometimes they just pray spontaneously, you know? I was down in Arizona visiting some friends, and I was out in their backyard praying my breviary, and their eldest daughter came out, and she was only about 5 at the time. She said, Padre, what are you doing? I said, well, Padre's praying his breviary. Can you give me 10 minutes? Well, for a kid, that's like forever. And who am I telling, you know? You all have kids. So she waited for like a minute, and then she interrupted me again. I said, well, why don't we pray together? Okay. And so they had a little grotto in the back of Mary. And so let's say Hail Mary together. And we started, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. And I started saying the Hail Mary. She says, you're doing it all wrong. I said, I am. She said, we're supposed to kneel. Oh, I said, okay. So we knelt down. And then we finished the Hail Mary together. And she has her arms extended like this as she's kneeling, praying. I mean, I'm looking at this 4 or 5 year old thinking, there's like freedom here. There's a naturalness about this. And then as, of course, we stand up and she goes, oh, look, Padre, the Holy Spirit. So I look up in the air. I'm like, what? And of course, it was a dove. I said, Therese, that's just a dove. No, it's the Holy Spirit. Like this. I'm thinking, you know, kids have this beautiful imagination where she could, through natural contemplation of the world around her, could commune with the Lord. Okay? So that's part of this meditatio. You allow these thoughts, feelings, emotions, desires that well up, these questions. You bathe in it. You memorize this word. You repeat it to yourself, and you allow it to interact, this word from Scripture. Though on fire was not consumed, maybe that's my word. And I allow it to interact with past memories of my childhood or thoughts or concerns I have today or deeper desires of my heart. Now my heart's being opened, see? And God's speaking to my heart from His heart. His word is His heart. Okay? It's a little sweet, but some people call it love letters from the Lord. It's a little saccharine for me as a man, but okay? But for you that that works for, there's your word. But you allow it to interact with your thoughts, your hopes, your desires, your memories. You're allowing the grace of God, God Himself, to interact maybe with an area of unforgiveness, an area in which there's been woundedness in your life that's kept you from the graces of God and the charisms you received at baptism from fully bursting through. And maybe He's just going to take you slowly because He knows you're fearful about letting go, because for 20, 30, 40 years you've been protecting this part of your heart, and now He's opening it just a little bit. And as men, we don't want to even admit that we have parts of that heart, those parts of our heart there. But in honest, raw moments, we want God to enter in. Do the surgery. Do what you have to do. There's moments of boldness and fortitude in all of our lives. But God tailors His grace to each and every one of us, to what we can handle. But we should be magnanimous to try to be as bold with God as possible. And Lectio gives us that possibility. So the meditatio is meant to have the Word of God to become His Word for us. He personalizes His Word, and His grace then slowly works and operates on our heart. It touches us and affects us at a deep, deep level. It's almost like you can imagine the lady who was who is hemorrhaging for 12 years. If I just touch His tassels, I'll be healed. Well, how much more than His tassels, but His actual Word can heal us? And how much more, when you meditate on the Word of God for Sunday Mass, does Mass become more alive? That you're more prepared for the grace that God desires to give you at Mass, in His Word being proclaimed and then broken open through the homily, and then the sacrament being celebrated, and the Word of God become flesh, and you're able to consume? How much more grace, how much more stretching of your heart, how many places of your heart have been now revealed where you're allowing the flood of grace to bring greater healing, greater direction, greater purpose, strength and fortitude, virtue, all because we took 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 minutes to pray, Lectio. This third step is oratio. Oratio is prayer. And it's basically where I've allowed, now I've read the Word of God, I've some part of it has really focused or spoken to me, I've meditated on it, these thoughts, feelings, emotions, desires during meditatio have risen in my heart, I've allowed the Word of God to interact with it, to kind of ruminate together, and now it brings forth prayer, a dialogue with God of the certain matter of my concerns or my worries or my hopes, my desires, my memories, imaginations. I bring to the Lord, and it becomes prayer. Whether it's spoken or in my heart, it becomes prayer. It bursts out of you. It's like when you're in love or you're desirous, you speak, even if it's just from the heart. But we want it from the heart. Not just from the heart, but we want it from the heart. It's a prayer of consecration. You, through baptism, are priests. Unlike me, I'm an ordained priest, but you have a common priesthood. And Scripture even talks about that. Our first Pope talks about that. Pope Peter says, in the first letter of Peter, chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, "Come to Him, a living stone, rejected by men, but approved nonetheless, and precious in God's eyes. You too are living stones, built as an edifice of spirit into a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." That's what you're doing when you go into oratio, your prayer of consecrating these things that have risen in your heart. Lord, I give them to You. Do with me as You will. Fiat. Speak to me. You're offering God to God parts of yourselves that previously you've not believed that God even desired. A place that you've hidden for your entire life. And all of us have those places, by the way. They limit us. We want to be a free people. Did not Jesus say, "I've come to give you life into the full"? Well, I want it. But it requires us to have a certain fortitude and courage. But we need grace to strengthen us there. And we need the boldness to go in. And Lectio is one way to do that. St. Ambrose, in a homily on St. Agnes, said, "I will be His who first chose me for himself. I will be his who first chose me for himself. One love, one Lord should be our motto. In the psalm prayer on Monday daytime prayer, it says, "Teach us always to do the Father's will, so that made holy by obedience," which in Latin, obedience is a careful listening, "which unites us to the sacrifice of Christ's body, we can expect your great love in times of sorrow and sing a new song to our God." Lectio allows us to go into those places that have kept us chained, bound, or even if it's just not negative, places where we have gifts and talents, but we know that God has some purpose in my life, some place he wants me to use these gifts and talents. It allows us to now, with greater strength and focus and purpose that God's word has given us, to then use it. And the fourth stage then is contemplatio. Contemplatio is contemplation. It's a wordless, quiet rest in the presence of the one who loves us. That's a definition of contemplation. Wordless, quiet rest in the presence of the one who loves us. We let go of our words just to be in God's presence. So you've listened to the word of God, and something in it, in that particular phrase or paragraph spoke to you. You repeat it to yourself, and you read it slowly with a careful listening. And then you get into meditatio, where the word of God interacts with thoughts, feelings, emotions, desires, memories, imaginations in your life. Concerns could be something in the past, present, gifts, joys, hopes, desires. And then it speaks out through your oratio, your prayer. You consecrate it to the Lord. You offer it as a spiritual sacrifice. And then you just allow the Lord to minister to you. Here's our God ministering to you. He, out of love. We're just mere creatures. Yeah. But see how great of a God we serve. He ministers to us. It's not enough for him just to save us and redeem us. He wants to abide with us, to make us one with him and like him. That's what the priest prays at Mass. Through him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. It's really the direction of our life. And so we learn to just abide in the Lord. Rest simply with the one who has used his word to transform us personally. The more that we know the word of God, and the word, the more we know Christ, the word made flesh, and therefore, the more that the word is enfleshed in us. We become, as John Paul II has said, other Christs with him and like him. Now I've allowed God, through just simple prayer of meditating on his word, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, to enter into the dark, shadowy places of my heart, or the places of light and freedom where he wants to direct, the dark, shadowy places he wants to heal and set us free, the places of light he wants to direct and to mature. He wants the whole man, the whole woman, the whole saint to burst through. And all because we've entered into Lectio Divina. Sometimes it's not. Lectio is just very kind of quiet. Little blips. Doesn't seem like it's a lot. Other times it's going to be really dramatic. God will speak to something, bring up something you thought you had forgotten about, and rage comes out about some unforgiveness. You thought you had left that behind. Oh, no, there's still more there. Because he wants to heal the whole person. If you look at Christ on the cross, hanging here from the crucifix, he gave all. Christ, as God, could demand all, and he does, but he invites all, so that the whole man, the whole of us, the all of us, is healed. It's not enough just for him to save us. It's not enough for God. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8, it's Jeremiah the prophet says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted beside the waters that stretches out its roots to the stream. It fears not the heat when it comes. Its leaves stay green. In the year of drought, it shows no distress, but still bears fruit. You and I need to be more fully rooted in Christ Jesus, more fully rooted in the Lord through the Word of God. Let me end with this. We have those four movements of Lectio Divina: Lectio, Meditatio, Oratio, Contemplatio. I read slowly, undisturbed. If I get distracted, then just refocus. And sometimes, by the way, this is a key important thing. In your contemplation or in your time of Lectio Divina, you may get distracted. Thoughts and desires may come up, things that seem unrelated to what you're just praying about. Don't ignore those. Bring them into the prayer, because it could be parts of your heart that God wants to heal. But you've got your own agenda, you know. And God's saying, no. This is what really needs to be directly challenged or looked at, healed. Bring it into prayer. Don't let it distract you and get off of your prayer. Bring it into the prayer. Make it part of your oratio. That usually, those distractions usually come up during meditatio, when thoughts, feelings, emotions, desires, imaginations, memories come up. Bring them in. Let them interact with the Word of God. And then let it come into your prayer of oratio. And then let God just bring deep healing to you. As we end, there are times in our spiritual life when nothing seems to be happening. Everything seems to be kind of flatlined. There's a number of things we could talk about, possibilities of what that means. But one thing it can mean is this, is that God is doing a hidden, deep work within you that is undetectable at the time. And you may say, God's not doing anything to me. Gosh, I've been doing this Lectio and nothing seems to be happening. Oftentimes, our spiritual life is like a teenager going out into the front yard and sitting down, and you're just going to sit down, and he's going to watch the grass grow. 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 And nothing's happening, or at least perceiving, and in that young teenager's perception. Kind of bored, goes back into the house, and 3 days later his dad says, John, can you go outside and mow the lawn? And look back, Dad, you idiot, nothing's happening out there. And you go out into the front yard, and now all of a sudden this grass that didn't look like it was growing needs to be mowed. And that's often what the spiritual life is like. Sometimes things are happening imperceptibly, and then all of a sudden it bursts through. But God has set the stage and done a hidden work in you. Don't despair. Continue to trust. And there will burst through fruitfulness, breakthroughs, healings, deliverance from strongholds, direction in the use of your gifts, a deepening of your life of prayer, a tasting and a touch of God. I will end with this quote from Pope Benedict. I think Jeff mentioned this in his teaching on Monday. In September of 2005, Pope Benedict stated, "I would like in particular to recall and recommend the ancient tradition of Lectio Divina. The diligent reading of sacred scripture accompanied by prayer brings about that intimate dialogue in which the person reading hears God who is speaking, and in praying responds to him with trusting openness of heart. It is effectively effectively promoted. This practice will bring to the church, I am convinced of it, a new spiritual springtime. If it is effectively promoted, this practice will bring to the church, I am convinced of it, a new spiritual springtime. He is a successor to the apostles. He sits in the chair of Peter, a man of deep prayer and deep intellect. I trust his words. So should you." So we're going to enter into some time of Lectio Divina. There'll be a handout given to you of this Sunday's readings. I would suggest this. We're going to have about 15 minutes or so to do this. Again, you're just going to read. I would pick one of the three. Like you look at the gospel. If you have the gospel, maybe you want to do the last paragraph that you'll see. And he told him this parable, and it goes on for a couple of lines. That may be a good place to start. Or the responsorial psalm. Maybe take one of the stanzas of the responsorial psalm. Okay? Or if you're going to do the first reading, maybe it's at the second half of the first paragraph that I was mentioning about Moses looking at the bush consumed with fire. Or the second paragraph where the Lord says, I have witnessed the affliction of my people in Egypt. What is my affliction? You know? So again, I would pick one of them. Don't read all of the scriptures here. Pick one of them. Read it slowly. See what speaks to you. Then focus on that. Read it slowly again. And allow it to just in silence, just to speak to your heart. Again, don't be too quick to dismiss any thoughts, feelings, emotions, desires, imaginations, memories. Let that speak to you and come into it. Allow the Word of God to bathe that. Some of us are just trying this out, so it's going to feel a little awkward. That's okay. You know? It's like trying on a new baseball glove. Okay? And then just allow it to kind of bathe in it, and then allow prayer to come up. Lord, I desire to be more consumed in love for you. I desire to be set on fire. I don't know where to go. Will you mentor me? Will you teach me? Or, you know, some of you may be fearful. Some of you may be overly joyed. Let that be your prayer. And then after you've spoken that or said it in your heart, then just rest and allow God to just speak to you. You may hear a word from him. You may not. But you're being receptive to his grace and his presence. That's what's important. Okay. And as you continue to practice this, you'll mature in your prayer. The Word of God will become just alive for you. Okay? So we're going to take some time right now, about 15 minutes.